There we go. Well, you guys made it. I mean, this is a big deal, just getting here, I know. So I just want you to know I really appreciate you being here and cramming into this little room for this class. You're going to have a different teacher every week, but the vision is the same all the way through, through the 11 weeks, which is just, this is the heart of Grace Chapel. These are the things that the church is passionate about. We want you guys to get to know each other, so that's why we leave in the middle, and you guys can get together in groups and discuss what we're talking about. You'll get to know a bunch of people that way. So remember, each week, kind of sit, you know, try to meet somebody new. And a lot of times at the end of these, people turn into small groups. I mean, there's been every single time, actually, when these classes end, they roll into turning into small groups. And so if you do make some relationships, get connected with folks, and you decide you want to do that, you need to let me know. I oversee the Life Groups ministry. I've been here for 2.5 years now. And I oversee the Life Group ministry. If you ever have any questions about small groups or getting connected, you can ask me. When we leave for a little while and you guys discuss, when we come back, you guys can ask me any question about anything. It doesn't just have to be about the material that we're going over. But tonight we're going to be talking about discipleship. So any questions about that so far? Anyone in the wrong room? Okay. The bathroom, just so everyone knows, is out this door and to your left and at the end of the hall. Don't go into the gym, but just take a left out here, and you're down here. There's the bathroom. Any other housekeeping things?
Is it always going to be in this room?
It will always be in this room until we get a bigger one. So hopefully if we can find a bigger space, we will. But yes.
And if you could actually just sign your name when you come in, it'll help a lot. So we've got the log here.
Sign in TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can just kind of know who was here. Any questions so far? Yeah.
I'm just curious, the purpose of this class, is it primarily for people who are not members but maybe are interested in members, or is it just teaching for those who may have already been here a long time, or is it just a combination thereof?
I just came to Grace Chapel, I want to get connected. That might happen in a couple weeks for some people, and that might happen in 2 years for some people. So it's really the class that's really set up for you to get to know us and for us to get to know you and to get plugged in at Grace. So this is sort of the introduction to all that. It's a good question.
I've been here 4 years. So.
4 years, see. Well, let's do that. 4 years, three, and we'll go do the countdown. How many of you are in 3 years? 2 years? 1 year? Okay, 6 months?
We've been here about 7 months.
7 months? Four? 4 months? 3 months? 2 months? 1 month? Okay, so most everybody's done the very new. One day.
I'm unusual because I used to go to church here 6 years ago for about 3.5 years.
Okay.
So I was here for a while, and I'm back. So.
You were, and then you were gone, and now you're back. But this is a great class, great way to get connected, get to meet some folks, and get an idea of what the church is about. You know, in the membership class, you get some basic idea of the theology of the church and kind of where they're coming from, the roots of where the church started. And these are, like, if you were going to say, you know, when you go into the room and you kind of look around at the words that are on the walls, have you ever noticed that there's words on the walls? These are the basically the topics that we're talking about. And this is the things that the church is really about. So ready to jump in? Okay, strangely enough, we are starting on page 45. The reason for that is because all of the different teachers of the classes have different schedules, and we can't always get them in the same order. So you're not always going to be on page one and then go on to page two. So each week you'll get more information. So we're talking about discipleship. Everybody found your way to page 45.
My folder's empty.
We need the insides back here. The Barlows. We'll hook you up. Two of those. Two insides. There's one here and one on the end. Here. You can be next to the roses. everybody's set up. All right. Well, let's see. I'll just tell you a little bit about me. I helped to plant a church in northern Idaho about 13 years ago, I guess 15 years ago now. And I was part of that ministry for 13 years and came out to Franklin about 4 years ago. And I've been here for about 2.5 years. I have a 14-year-old. I have a 9-year-old and I have a 2-year-old. So all spread out, every stage all along the way. And my beautiful wife, Cassie, if you ever get to meet us together. We're almost always here Sunday mornings at 8, if you ever want to join me for breakfast. If you ever have questions or anything, I'm almost always here at 8 Sunday morning in the fellowship hall if you want to come, I'll buy you breakfast. So, page 45, first fill in the blank. Now, for those of you who have fill in the blank anxiety, all of the answers are at the back of each section. So if I'm... There's no exams. So if you do miss a word, they're always in the back of that particular section. So don't worry. So the first one is, in order to grow to spiritual maturity, the word's maturity, and walk in community, every Christian needs to become a disciple. So I guess the question is, what is a disciple, right? If I was to go around to, and I've done this, I've gotten rooms full of pastors and asked that question, I would get 150 different answers. If I asked this room, and I had you all write it down, we'd get probably about 50 different answers. And the problem is that we don't have a unified definition of what a disciple is. And that's a big problem, because if we don't know what we're aiming for, we can't hit it, right? So we can't be a disciple, and we definitely can't make disciples if we don't know what a disciple is. Make sense? So we need to have a unified definition of what a disciple is if we're going to make disciples or be disciples of Jesus. Very simply, you see this triangle here. I'm just going to walk you around the triangle, and it's just an easy way to remember, you know, what is a disciple. See if I can do this. I'm hooked to this cord. Yeah. I'll carry this with me. So I'm going to draw a triangle here, and I'm going to give you all the answers. So what is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus. It's being changed by Jesus and is on mission with Jesus. I'll pull this definition from Jesus himself. Matthew 4:19, he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So you can just see, Jesus is actually in the very introduction when he's getting his disciples together, and he's saying, come, follow me. He gives them the whole definition in the beginning. He doesn't slowly roll it out over time. He says from the very beginning, if you follow me, I will change you, and I will call you on a mission, and that is fishing for men. So that's from Matthew 4:19. The story is actually from Luke 5, and that's where Jesus is coming up to the Peter's boat, and they're cleaning their nets, and they're done for the day. And you can imagine, you just finally got that all cleaned up. And Jesus is saying, hey, go out and throw your nets in the deeper water. And, of course, he says, well, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything, but because you say so, we'll do it. So they go out, they throw their nets out. They end up catching so many fish that the nets start to actually tear and break. And this is a miraculous catch. In fact, it's so many fish that the boat begins to sink. And they're calling the other boats from the shore, calling them in. And while they're sitting there, they're all full of fish, and these other boats are coming. Simon looks at Jesus and says, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Because he realizes who he is. And his response is, I'm a mess. Just like probably most of us in the room would recognize if we were standing next to Jesus, right? And so once he knew who he was, he's like, get away from me, I'm a mess. And Jesus said, from now on, you know, come with me and you'll be fishing for men. And so you can imagine from his perspective, he's watching those boats come in and he's looking at all these fish and he's trying to imagine, what in the world does fishing for men mean? right? But he had to be curious. What is fishing for men? And so that's the mission. And so I'm just going to walk through each one of these and why they matter. Because if we're going to have a definition, we really need to know what it is. Make sense? So this is a true story. This is from, there was an Olympic marksman. It was, I don't know what the year was, but he lined up for his final shot. And if he made the shot, he was going to win the gold medal. And so he lines up, he takes his shot, and he kind of does one of these fist pumps because he knows he won. He's got the gold, and he's high-fiving his team. And then they start to come over, and they start checking his gun. And they're like, you didn't hit the target at all. And these guys never miss by more than, you know, this much. And so he's like, no, I know I hit the bullseye. And they're like, you didn't. You didn't even hit it at all. And so you can imagine how many times they watched it in slow motion over and over and over again. They're trying to figure out, was it a blank? Did it not go off? Was there a problem with the gun? And what they finally realized is he had shot a perfect bullseye in the target next to his.
Oh, oh no.
So he had made a perfect shot. It was just the wrong target. And because of that, he ended up getting the bronze instead of the gold. Just in one shot, one perfect shot. So the problem isn't that you aren't going to make disciples or be disciples. You are going to make disciples, right? The problem isn't that you're not going to. It's what target are you aiming for, right? Because you'll hit it. That's the problem. The problem isn't that you're not going to, you know, we are all going to miss a little bit, right? No one's going to get a perfect shot. But what are we pointing at? What are we aiming for? What's the goal? I mean, at the end of the day of this, you know, at the end of the 11-week class or being in this church for 20 years, what should be coming out of this church? It's disciples of Jesus Christ, people that are following Jesus, being changed by him, and are on mission for him. Make sense? And so let's talk just about each one of these. When I talk about following Jesus, I mean a present tense relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, when you're talking about Jesus, you have fresh material to talk about. It's not 10 years old, 5 years old, I got saved when. It's God is showing me now. It's the hardest thing to get to happen in every small group. This is what I fight for. To happen in every small group, for people to apply it to them. Because I can get people together all day and for centuries, right? And to talk about how this could apply to other people. It's actually very easy. It's very easy to get in a group and talk about how material applies to people or to Christians or people in America today. It's very hard to go, but what does this mean for me right now? What's God saying to me here in this scripture right now? And what do I need to do with it? That's present tense. So when I say follow, you can't follow somebody that's dead. I'm talking about the resurrected Jesus Christ. He is alive. He's not dead. He is moving. He doesn't sit still. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to actually be paying attention to where is he going and what's he doing. And I'll just tell you, you don't always know, unless you're paying attention, when he took a turn, right? You got to be paying attention, because it's not like he's always going in one really simple straight line. It's like Jesus turns. And you'll find yourself a long ways down the road. I don't know if you guys have ever been a long ways down the road, and you realize, where am I? Right? It's like, how did I get here? I'm trying to follow Jesus, but I ended up and I don't know where I am. And whether it's a dead end or a long hallway, it's like, you know, every doorway leads to a hallway that hopefully goes somewhere, right? And Jesus is trying to lead us, right, in the present tense, because Jesus is alive. I'm talking about resurrected from the dead Jesus Christ right now today. And so when I say follow, that's what I mean. So a disciple is somebody who follows a risen Savior. I don't just mean the word follow. Does that make sense? So that's the first thing. Change. You cannot follow Jesus and stay the way that you are. Peter had no idea what he was getting into, but he knew that he was a mess immediately, right? We all know that we're a mess immediately. We don't have to, like, hunt around to know that we have... All right, raise your hand if you have any problems. Come on. If there's anything wrong with you at all, raise your hand. Okay, so Jesus wants to do something with that, right? He wants to resurrect that. He doesn't want to leave it dead, undone, broken forever. He wants to restore it. He wants to renew it. He wants to make it new. He doesn't want to leave it. And you can't go with Jesus and stay the way that you are. You have to change to follow Jesus. And, I mean, it didn't take Peter very long. He's like, get away from me. I'm a mess. And that's, when I start talking about discipleship, people start thinking, are you talking, you know, especially when I get down to mission, you start going, well, that's not for me. I'm a mess. I'm just trying to get this figured out. I'm not trying to, like, impart anything to anyone else. And that's exactly what Peter said. But Jesus has no problem with messed up people. You know, one time I did this training, and I was trying to get marriage mentors for this class. And so I put out this thing that said, I'm looking for screwed up people to point other screwed up people to Jesus. And 60 people signed up to lead these groups. Well, then second service was rolling around, and somebody was like, I don't really like how you're saying screwed up. Like, let's change that. We're just going to change it to, I'm looking for people to point other people to Jesus. It just sounds better. And I was like, okay. And so they changed it. Nope. Guess how many people signed up? Nine. Zero. Why? It's daunting. The second you decide, I'm going to go help somebody else, you realize just how absolutely inadequate you are. It's the reality of parenting, right? It's like, oh, no. The feeling you have when you have children is that panicky, oh, no, what am I going to do? Feeling, it's the same thing you have when you decide you're going to impart anything to anyone else in the kingdom. You're like, oh, no, I don't have anything. And that's just normal. It's normal to feel like discipleship's for the pastors, and I'm just trying to get discipled. But Jesus doesn't leave that out. In fact, he's only been talking to Simon a tiny bit, right? He's immediately already telling him, you're going to be a fisher of men. That means that it's going to go three generations deep. He's saying, I'm going to make you, that's one, a fisher of men. See how it just keeps going? I'm going to make you a fisher of men. So Jesus is going to make Peter someone who can reach other people. It keeps going. So like, when we talk about how many of you have heard of the E3 challenge? Just very simply, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about passing something on in such a way that it can be passed on. It's just that simple. How do you give something to somebody that they can pass on? That's kingdom. When Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, it means that when Jesus left, Peter could still catch fish. And those fish just happened to be people. So you are all called into that mission. And that does not mean that you're all going to go knocking on doors or you're all going to go be like crazy evangelists. That means wherever you are, there are people already there that you have a relationship with that you are impacting for the kingdom right now. You don't have to find anybody. There are already people around you that are looking at you trying to figure out what does it mean to follow Jesus. So I'm not talking about someone else somewhere else. I'm talking about just the people in your life right now. You are going to impact them. You know, the weird thing is you are making disciples already. It's just what kind of disciples are we making? What are we shooting for? Right? And so that influence is happening whether you realize it or not. Your kids end up like you in ways you like and in ways you don't like. Right? And it's like a mirror. It shows you, it's like, here I am right in your face. Here's some of the things that you do that I don't like it. I don't like seeing it. And then some things I'm like, all right, good. You're picking that up. I'm glad. But that's just discipleship. So when I say mission, a lot of people think Africa. Okay, very few of people are called to now leave and go to Africa. In fact, Africa needs to be sending people here, right? So everybody stay, and hopefully they'll send some missionaries here, right? I'm not talking about somewhere else. I'm talking about just your life right now. And that might be one or two people. It's not, and then, so it doesn't have to be somewhere else, and it doesn't have to be complicated. So when I'm talking about discipleship, I do mean you following Jesus, but I also mean you impacting the people that are around you. Because it goes not just to you, but to others. You know, all the law and the prophets, Jesus said, can be summed up in one thing. What? Which he took a big chunk of the Bible and said, love God and love other people, right? Well, how do we do it? Like, how do you love people except pointing them to Jesus Christ? And what's the most loving thing we can do? And so that, to me, is what I'm talking about when I say this is the target. This is what we're shooting for. At the end of the day, you know, if you looked at a church and it was a factory, and here's the factory, and let's say we're a toaster factory, and out comes a bicycle at the other side. Wouldn't we kind of start wondering what happened? I mean, wouldn't we just at least rename our factory and say we're a bicycle factory? But what's happened is the church, and I mean the church, big picture of the church, is now having to admit, and you can watch all the statistics. I'm not going to depress you with the statistics, right? But you can look at them if you want to. Barna has a bunch of statistics if you want to go look it up about what is the product of the church today. Are they like Jesus? Right? What are we making? And shouldn't we ask the question if something's really off like that, really, really off? If people are getting divorced at the same rate, if people are being abused at the same rate, if they're addicted to drugs at the same rate, if everything's the same, shouldn't we stop and go, wait a minute, what is the church producing? Isn't that a great question to ask when we very first start a class at Grace Chapel? What am I doing here? What is this going to do to me if I stay here long enough? Am I going to end up more like Jesus at the end of this or not? Or why am I here? Why am I coming to a church and going to a class and doing all these things if something isn't going to happen to me, right? And so I'm just saying that the expectation, the hope, our passion, the reason why we're here, the reason why I get up in the morning is that you would all be disciples of Jesus. So that you would be both following Jesus, be transformed by him, and be on mission. Do you guys feel like you could teach that on a napkin? Yeah? I mean, I've had people teach this immediately the next day to people. Wouldn't it be cool, I mean, this is just dreaming, if when people asked you if you were a Christian, you explained to them what a Christian is? I mean, you think about it. It's like, what's different about you? Do you say, I go to this church? Right? Or do you explain Jesus? Do we talk about Jesus? Do we talk about our church? You know, is anyone asking? I guess is the first question. Is there anything different about you? There's something about you that's different. Wouldn't it be cool if it's just like, yeah, I'm following Jesus. He's totally changed my life. And he has a purpose for my life. And maybe you're part of it. Because God wants to transform your life too. That's a testimony right there. It's like, I'm following Jesus and he's changing me. And here's how. I'm not the same I was even 2 years ago. You know, God's doing something. He's alive. I mean, more people need to say that Jesus is alive. More people need to be saying that Jesus is alive and he's moving and he's doing things today than just that he died on the cross for their sins in the past. More people need to actually be talking about how Jesus is moving and alive and doing things today. And that's you. You're those people. You're the people that have said, all right, fine, I'll come to the class, right? So you're part of this body. You're saying, I want to join this church. I want to be a part of this church. What does it mean to be at Grace Chapel? Part of what it means to be at Grace Chapel is that you are a disciple and that you make disciples. So that's the first thing. Disciple follows Christ, is changed by Christ, and is on mission with Christ. So bottom of page 45, spiritual maturity is being like Christ. Any questions about any of that so far? Okay, now I want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. Anybody need a book or a pen or water?
Or chocolate.
Or chocolate. Anybody need chocolate? Right there. She'll give it to you, too. All right, next I'm going to talk about how page 46, truths about spiritual maturity. Hopefully you're picking this up. Yeah, communion candy. We don't drink the Kool-Aid here. We eat the candy. So spiritual maturity, right? It is a process. Top of the page, page 46. So nobody just goes click. Now I'm all done, right? It's not like the timer on the oven goes ding and now you're Christian, right? It's a process that we're all in. Amen? Like nobody's arrived in here that I know of. How many of you guys have ever walked up to a mall map? Okay, so what do you need to know to use a mall map? You got to know you are here, right? You got to know where you are and where you want to go, okay? That's good news. That's all you need to know to grow spiritually. Where am I at and what do I need? Don't worry, the candy's going to keep coming. No hoarding the candy. You guys are so funny. That's all right. You're fine. Thank you. I have taught this a few times. So I'm going to draw some pie here. I used to call this the wheel, but then I came to the South, and now I've changed it to pie. Does that work? Does it look like pie? So I'm just going to walk through a very typical process that we all recognize and know, and then we'll apply that spiritually. So, but first, we're just going to apply it. Can everybody see that circle? You have a circle on your page, I hope. Does it have all the answers filled in?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so then I'll just kind of point. So discipleship is a process. We're all in it. It's just like a mall map. You walk up and you go, where am I at? And then how do I? So one of my goals for this next section is that you kind of figure out, well, where am I at? Where am I kind of living? And what do I need to do next? Just to move a little bit. Like, what do I need to do to just take the next step? We don't have to figure out the whole thing. Just like, what do I need to do to take my next step to grow? And so I'm going to walk you through this. The reason why we're using this analogy, which is an analogy of someone who is dead, someone who is born again, an infant, a child, a young adult, and a parent. Do you see that? Dead, born again, infant, child. It's because we get that. Like, we know what it is. Jesus uses that as his example when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, right? And he thought that sounded crazy. Like, how am I supposed to be born again? How am I supposed to start over? I know a lot of stuff already, and now I have to start over and learn everything from the beginning. And Jesus says, yeah, that's what you're going to have to do. It's kind of like the wind. Like, you can see its effect, but you can't really, you can't control it. but it's moving, and it's doing things. And so he explained that born again, Paul used it in more derogatory terms in his letters to screwed up churches. He was like saying, hey, this messed up church. He's saying, hey, you're acting like babies. Like, he used it kind of to mock and say, you guys are acting like babies. You need to grow up. You need to stop drinking milk and you need to start eating solid food, right? You need to stop being an infant and start being more like at least a child. And chew your food. Like, I shouldn't have to put the spoon in your mouth forever, you bunch of babies. Isn't that what he says? Basically? I know, it's a paraphrased version. But that's Paul. And then, you know, he talks about, you know, I wish you're like my son to Timothy. He's talking about Timothy being like a young adult. And then he says, I want you to go take care of these churches that he's leaving behind. He wants him to father. He starts explaining what an elder is. An elder sounds a lot like a parent, someone who's taking responsibility for somebody else to help him grow. So we see that kind of in Scripture, but we also just see it kind of naturally in just our life. We see people mature and grow up. It's an analogy we understand. The word disciple disappears in the New Testament. As you're going along, you'll notice in Acts it disappears and it never comes back. Is it because they decided we're just not going to do that anymore? No. It's because the church moved to outside of the Jewish culture into the Greek culture. And the Greek cultures were like, disciple? What are you talking about? And they didn't have any framework for a rabbi that teaches their students to be just like them. That's what a disciple was. Is a rabbi that taught somebody to be just like them. In fact, the Jewish culture would say that when a rabbi dies, their students, it would be as if they never died, because their students would be just like them. So when you're in Jewish culture and you say disciple, they're like, I totally understand what you mean. Now you go over here into this little Greek culture and you say, hey, I want you guys to go make disciples. They're just going to look at you like they have no idea what you're talking about. So they switch to family language. They switch to something everyone can relate to in any culture, which is you need to grow up, right? You need to mature. Don't be a baby forever. You know, you need to step into this next thing, and then you need to kind of grow a little bit more, and you need to grow a little bit more. And everybody could relate to that. Does that make sense? So it's someone is spiritually dead. They're born again. They're an infant. So let's just talk about those. So I'm going to start with dead. I'm talking about specifically dead people, physically dead people. I'm not talking about spiritual right now. What's a dead person like?
Cold.
Still.
Smelly.
Lifeless.
Quiet.
No purpose.
Kind
of dark. Buried.
Yeah. What?
Entombed,
yeah, buried, same thing. All right, what about, ladies, you should probably go first on this one. Birth, describe birth.
Epidural.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Pain. It's always first. What else?
Newness.
Mm-hmm.
Beauty.
Beautiful.
Joy, excitement.
There's a lot of expectation and then a lot of joy. A lot of pain.
Anxiousness.
Anxiety. Definitely, you're worried about that little tiny baby.
Relief.
Totally, it's a relief. Everything's okay.
Desiring the pure milk of the word.
Okay, but not spiritually. I just mean babies.
Milk, though.
Yes, they want milk.
Yes.
Right? But that's an infant. Well, you jumped ahead. That's okay. Infant.
Sorry.
They want milk. What else? Tell me about babies.
Cry.
They cry.
They poop their diapers.
They poop. They're needy. They eat. They're totally dependent. What else?
They're adorable
and they're beautiful. Yes. They have that little baby smell on the top of their head. What?
They cry.
Innocent. They cry. All right. What about a child? Describe a child. I'm talking about elementary.
Seekers.
Seekers, yeah. They're playful, they're curious. They explore, don't they? Dangerously.
Learning.
They're always learning. They're like sponges at that age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Impetuous? That's a good word. What?
They're growing,
yeah. Everything's changing. My boys asked me last night to draw the little line on this door to show that they've grown this much. Right? They're growing. They did that last night. They're like, Dad, look, I've grown. I'm like, they want to know.
Immature.
They are. They're very naive, right?
Trusting.
Very trusting. Definitely. Gullible, yeah. Absolutely. There's good things and bad things, right? You guys are doing both really well. What about a young adult? Yeah, That's where the word sophomore comes from, right? It's like the young fool.
Risk takers.
They are. They're pushing the boundaries out.
Dreamers.
Taking risk. Definitely dreamers. I think they have something to offer in visionary thinking, for sure. They still think they can change everything.
Invincible.
Very, definitely. They think they can do it all, and they're invincible.
Emotional.
Very emotional. Very dramatic. ups and downs.
Like, to be more self-focused.
Definitely more self-focused. Mm-hmm. They can be, for sure. Yeah. I can tell who has the teenagers. Yeah. And so, all right, well, let's jump to adult. What are... Or, sorry, parent? Is that the right word?
Parent.
What are parents like? Tired is always first.
Yeah.
That's funny. Tired. They are tired.
They won't let their kids do nothing.
They won't let their kids do anything. Yeah. They are protective.
Mean.
They can be. Yes. What else?
If they're doing it right.
Teachers.
They are. They're teachers. They're like the guides.
Experienced.
They have experience. Protective, someone said. I see the light bulbs. Yeah. Loving.
Nurturing,
for sure. Now, I just want to say this to all of you, because you're all maybe at some point going to want to get in a small group. Family is a better analogy than I'm going to go get my best friends. Everybody's at a different place on this little continuum in their spiritual maturity. We just described a lot of different spiritual maturities, right? When we see a baby crying, are we mad at them? How about an adult baby crying in your small group? We want to choke them, right? Or they're whining and complaining like a 7-year-old, or they're like really emotional and up and down, or they're, what do we say? Pooping their pants and they don't want to clean it up. Or, I mean, when we think about people spiritually, isn't it the same thing? Do you see the crossover? But we aren't mad at babies. And we shouldn't be in our groups either. It's like everybody's in a different place and they all need different things. And we're all growing together. It's more like family. And so if you go into a group, go in with the expectation that it's like more like going to Thanksgiving than it is like the episode of Friends, where everybody loves each other and we're all best buddies. Because reality is that we're all figuring it out, we're all growing, and we're all in different places, right? When I was describing these different stages, which one was like really, you were like, that's me, that's kind of where I live. If I'm honest, spiritually, I kind of live right here. If you were to put like a little star on the map, you are here. If spiritually, are you kind of like, you know what? Because none of these are wrong. None of these are wrong. So, like, if you were to say, you know what? I don't know. Maybe you feel like you're, I don't even know if I know Jesus. I feel kind of dead. Or you feel like, man, I'm just a baby. I just got born, and I don't know anything. Right? Or maybe you feel like, man, I'm soaking everything up, and I just, I'm really needy. And I don't really have anything to offer back. I got nothing. Maybe that's how you feel. Maybe you feel kind of like, you know, I feel really curious. I want to learn a lot. I want to know more. I'm kind of impulsive. I do one dumb thing after another, but then, you know, I'm sorry. And then I want my kid, you know, the other kid's toys, you know. Is that kind of where you live? Or, you know, are you feeling like, you know, I'm more like a young adult. Maybe I have a little bit more to offer. Or maybe I'm kind of stretching out my boundaries. Maybe you're even questioning a little bit more things about church, about ministry, about life. You're kind of like, I don't know if I buy this. I don't know if I agree with that. A lot of people feel like they're going backwards when they're maturing here. They're like, man, I'm starting to question things. I'm starting to struggle a little bit. I'm starting to have more pimples spiritually, right? And you're kind of feeling like, well, I feel like I'm going backwards, but really you're going forwards. You're growing. Or maybe you feel like, man, you know what? I'm not a perfect parent. okay? But I really feel like my life is about helping other people along. Like, no one here is perfect, obviously, right? This is not a continuum that lands in perfect. Anybody know any perfect parents? No, right? So it's just the same. Like, you don't have to know what you're doing to be a parent, right? You're just a parent if you have what? Children. There is one perfect parent. That's right. There's one perfect parent. So can you guys kind of identify where you're at? That's my goal. That's a good thing to talk about when we break. How much time do I have?
None. Hmm?
What?
None.
None? Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's a perfect time to break then. All right, I'm going to run you through the fill in the blanks on page 46. It is not automatic. You will have to do something if you want to grow. It won't happen to you by you sitting there. It takes discipline. It will actually be hard. Spiritual maturity is related to discipleship. I actually don't know what that means. Let's think of it as a mysterious fill in the blank. Just to ponder that later. And so, right now, you're going to break into groups of three or four.
Or more. Okay, the logistics are difficult in this room because we're so close. Normally, we would just say, get a little closer, move your chair. So if you think you can do that, are you done, Jimmy, before I jump right in here? Okay.